The teenage years can be tough, especially on those who support and cheer them on. Navigating the complexities of engaging teens in a meaningful way can be tricky these days. If you find yourself nodding in agreement, you are in just the right place. Here, you'll find the tools and resources you need to support the teens in your life as they discover how to embrace their individual skills, talents, and passions to create a life that surpasses their dreams. You'll hear incredible endeavors where communities empower their youth to have a real impact on the world. This is the Changemaker Teens Podcast with your guide, Linda Johnstone, mother, activist, eternal optimist, and founder of the Changemaker Teens Project. She's passionate about helping you support the teens in your life as you work with them to find lives of direction, purpose, and meaning. Here's Linda.
Hi, everyone. It's Linda, and welcome to the Changemaker Teens Podcast. I am once again recording this in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic, where most of us are on lockdown with our families. We're all stuck at home. We're safe at home. We're all safe at home with our babies, our teenagers, our young adults, and everyone in between. And I think it's safe to say that we're all struggling with boredom and overeating and not getting anything done. But I also think it's a great time to work on our relationships, especially with our teenagers. So this is episode 4 of our podcast. And if you're listening to this sometime in the future, glad to see you made it through. I personally go back and forth between a deep fear of being infected, followed by thoughts that maybe self-isolation isn't all that bad. But I'll tell you, it's starting to mess with my brain a little. For example, I'm usually hyper aware of the weather because I'm a professional pilot and, well, pilots are always talking about the weather. But this morning, in the middle of April, I woke up to 2 inches of snow on the ground and I just stared at it. I didn't know where it came from. Now, I get it where this is upstate New York and we get snow in April. That's not the big deal. But I've been inside for about a month now, and in my brain, it's been 72 degrees out this whole time. So to wake up and see snow out there really messed me up. And then I saw that next Thursday was Wear Your Pajamas to Work Day. So I looked down at what I was wearing at 2 in the afternoon, and, well, yeah. But I do have some positive things to report. And it's important for me to tell you this because it might happen to you too. In fact, I hope it happens to you. My 21-year-old daughter listened to my last episode, the one about respect. And she's at that age where she's definitely trying to spread her wings and fly, but she can't right now because of the lockdown. So it's been challenging, to say the least. We were having a mini argument about something the other day. I don't even remember what. But she actually said to me, "You know what? I don't feel respected right now. I don't think you're respecting me." And it stopped me in my tracks, because she had never used the word before, and she used it perfectly. And I smiled, because my little super secret family experiment was working. In the old days, she would never have said that. She would have gone on and on about whatever it was. I would have gotten defensive, and we would have gotten nowhere. But this was a whole new language for her. For the first time, she knew what to ask me for. She wanted me to respect her side of the discussion, and I apparently wasn't doing that. And I was thrilled that she was able to stop the argument and ask for respect. What a great skill to have when she's with her boyfriend or her friends, coworkers, employers. I want all of my kids to know that they deserve to be respected and that it's okay to ask for it. So yeah, chalk up a win for my respect podcast episode. I hope it works for you too. But it's going to take effort. And it's easy to just shut our kids down and say, "Because I said so." And don't get me wrong, there are times when that's appropriate. But there are other times when we really do need to listen to their side, when it's important to really hear what she's trying to say. And that brings me to today's episode, which is the second theme in our poem, A Message to Parents. It's all about listening. And just for a quick review, I had the idea that now would be an amazing time to work on building our relationships, especially the ones between parent and teen. Once this lockdown is lifted, who knows when we'll see each other again, at least on any kind of regular schedule. So right now, we're eating meals together, we're cooking together, helping with homework, we're talking. This is the time to get closer, to establish trust and respect, and to rebuild our relationships if necessary. And if you've been listening to the other episodes, you know about the poem called A Message to Parents by Diana Sterling. The poem is the result of a research project that Diana did while she was trying to figure out how she could better interact with her own teenage son. I went into detail about this on episode 2, but here's the quickie version. She asked the teens in her study a series of questions. What do you need from the adults in your lives? How do you want to be treated by your parents and other adults? How do you want to live your life in the future? And what can you do to find meaning in your life? Their answers were grouped into 7 common themes. Out of these themes came the poem that became a message to parents. And here it is. If you respect me, I will hear you. If you listen to me, I will feel understood. If you understand me, I will feel appreciated. If you appreciate me, I will know your support. If you support me as I try new things, I will become responsible. When I'm responsible, I will grow to be independent. In my independence, I will respect you and love you all of my life. So our last episode focused on respect and the great things that happen when a person feels respected. They even learn to ask for respect. Respect is the foundation for all relationships, between two humans, between humans and animals, humans and our environment. We all know hundreds of examples of how things have gone bad when there's a lack of respect. Check out our last episode for more on that. But today I'm going to be talking about our second theme. If you listen to me, I will feel understood. Listening. God gave us one mouth and 2 ears for a reason, right? Then why is it so hard for us to listen? Check this out. What is the number one complaint that teens have about their parents? Answer, they don't listen to me. Oh yeah? Well, guess what the number one complaint that parents have about their teens? Do you give up? Answer, they don't listen to me. How is that possible? How hard is it to listen to somebody? I mean, you don't even have to think to listen, right? Or maybe that's the problem. Maybe it's so hard to listen because we aren't really listening at all. Maybe instead of listening, we're thinking. We're thinking about how to respond or how to answer or how to fix whatever the person is talking about. I was watching the news last night and they had a doctor on talking about the importance of social distancing during this pandemic. And he looked at the camera and said, "Listen to me." And then he stopped. And I swear he squinted his eyes and he said, "Listen and really try to hear what I'm saying." And he's so right. It's not even enough to say, "Listen to me" anymore. We have to say, "Listen to me and hear me." Turns out there is a difference. The definition of listen is to make a conscious effort to hear. That's it. A conscious effort to hear. Not to interrupt or intervene or interpret, just hear what the other person is saying. That doesn't sound that difficult, but it must be because we don't do it right. Think about your own listening skills. When your spouse or your parent or teen or child wants to tell you something, how do you listen? If you're like most people, you listen with the assumption that the speaker wants your advice, don't you? You almost can't even hear what they're saying anymore because you're so busy preparing yourself to come up with a solution. And when they're done speaking, you launch right into what they need to do to fix their issue. You tell them how you would handle it, or worse, how you did handle it when that same thing happened to you. For the most part, people listen to respond. No wonder there is such a disconnect between a parent and a teenager, or between a husband and a wife, a boyfriend, girlfriend. Well, there is a better way, and it's called listening to understand. It's not easy to do. In fact, it takes a lot of practice, lots of practice. Let me start by saying that sometimes your teen will want your advice, but I promise you, if that's the case, they will ask you for it. That's not what we're talking about here. Instead, we are talking about developing your listening skills so that you no longer listen to respond, but rather listen to actively understand. Again, we're working on the parent-teen relationship, but this type of listening works wonders with all relationships, even with your young children, especially with your young children. Actually, if you get this figured out when your child is 4 years old, you may just sail through the teen years. But it will take a conscious effort, and it will take practice. Your job, then, is to listen openly, without passing judgment, and if possible, listen for the core or the underlying issue. Remember, unless the speaker asks for advice, stop offering it. We're also not listening to talk about us. It's odd how that happens and how easily it does. Your teen is telling you about something that happened at school, and suddenly you're telling her all about what happened to you 100 years ago. Does that sound familiar? Well, when I was a teenager, or if I were you, I'd blah, 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 blah. It's so hard not to do that. We want them to know that we were teens once and that we survived, and therefore we understand. But I'm telling you to stop it. We're not talking about you. We're talking about them. Try this. And I don't want to be rude, but listen with your mouth shut. Let me tell you a little story. A long time ago, before Diana created the parent coach approach to parenting teens, she was a movie director. And one of her favorite tools was the POV shot. And POV stands for point of view. And here's how it works. Have you ever seen the movie E.T. about the extraterrestrial who lands on Earth but wants to go home? Everybody knows E.T., right? Well, there's a scene in the movie where the little girl is trying to hide E.T. from the bad guys who are coming to take him away. The first thing the audience sees is a shot of a pile of stuffed animals. Do you remember this? But if you look closely, you can see that one of the stuffed animals is actually E.T. trying to fit in with the toys, as if he's one of them. But the next shot is a reversal of the camera. Instead of us looking into the room to see E.T., we are now E.T. looking out at the room. In essence, the director takes the actor away and puts the camera in its place, so that the audience is now looking at a scene from the eyes of the actor. We see the scene from the actor's point of view. And this is a common practice in movie production, and it's very effective because it helps the audience feel what the actor is feeling, to see what the actor sees. Diana realized that if she took her teen out of the picture, she could practice looking at a scene from his eyes to try to feel what he's feeling and to see what he sees. And it worked. It helped her take herself out of the conversation so she could just listen to what her son was saying. There are actually three levels of point of view listening. Number one is listening from your point of view. Level two is listening to their point of view. And level three is listening from their point of view. What kind of listener are you? Level one is very superficial. You take whatever they say and turn it around so that it involves you. Most people are level one listeners. It's easy to see this by paying attention to your everyday conversations. It's not our fault that we're terrible listeners. It's the way we're wired. But we can learn to change. So level two listening goes a little deeper. This level involves gathering facts and getting more information. It is obvious that you're interested in what the speaker is saying and that you want to know more. It shows that you care. But level three listening is our goal. It's the most difficult form of listening. It's the ET type, where you put yourself in the other person's shoes and try to feel what they're feeling and see what they're seeing. It's what we're striving for as parents, especially parents of teens. It's the holy grail of listening. When you master this level, you're absolutely listening to understand, and I guarantee your relationship will improve. Let's look at some examples that might make it easier. Let's say your daughter comes home from school, and she's obviously upset. She says, "All the girls were talking about me today. They were laughing, and I think my best friend hates me and is never going to talk to me again." So let's respond using the three levels of listening. Level one, you say, "Oh, that's terrible. I remember when I was in high school and my friend and I had a fight. She told everyone what I said and it felt like the whole school was against me, and then we never talked again." Level two listening. You say, "I am so sorry to hear that. Are you sure they were talking about you? Do you have any idea what they were saying? Did something happen the other day at the party? What are you going to do?" And level three listening. You take a deep breath. You think for a minute before you respond and you say, "I am so sorry, honey. That must be so painful. It must be so hard for you to think that you've lost your best friend. The two of you have been together since grade school." Do you see the difference? You didn't try to tell her what to do or how to fix the problem. You just validated her feelings. You let her know that you heard what she was saying and you're there for her. Nothing else. No more. No fixing. Kids don't always need to be fixed. In fact, It's good if they can figure things out for themselves. But hey, that's another episode. We'll talk about that later. It's another one of the themes. Can you see why a household of level one listeners is not exactly ideal? I don't expect your teens to be great at this, but if we, the parents, can always be in the world of level two or level three listening, we will be well on our way to a great relationship. Here's another example. I have another example, and this is actually a true story. This actually happened. My friend was at a wedding where the bride was an only child. Her father was having an extremely hard time knowing that his beloved daughter was moving away and starting a life of her own. My friend and point of view listener tells the story of the father going from table to table, just looking for someone to acknowledge his pain, but he heard a lot of level one listening. Things like, "You'll be okay. When my daughter left, it only took a few months for us to get used to it." Or, "I know what you're saying. My daughter just got engaged, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm already dreading it." Lots of level one listeners. A lot of me, 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 I. But there were some level two listeners there, too. And those kind of people would say things like, "It must feel like a fresh start for you. How do you feel about this? What are you going to do to keep yourself busy? Maybe you can do some traveling now. Where do you think you'd go? It's better, but it's not the best." So let's talk about level three listening. When the father got to my friend's table, she decided to go all level three on him. She simply said, "I know this is a huge change for you. I'm sure it's going to be hard. I can see that you're so sad." And that's all it took. He broke down and started sobbing, big tears. When he regained his composure, he said to her, "Thank you for acknowledging my feelings. I desperately needed someone to do that tonight." Sometimes our kids just need that too. You see, my friend didn't try to fix the father. She didn't try to change things for him or give him an alternative to missing his daughter. I mean, that was going to happen no matter what she said. But she put herself in his shoes. She thought for a minute about how painful it must be to watch your only daughter move away, and that's just what she said. And it worked. He let it all out and was better for the rest of the night. See how simple that was? We really don't need to make this terribly complicated, but it does take some practice. It's human nature to try to fix things for the people we love. However, sometimes they need to fix it themselves, or they need to learn to live with whatever's happening. But here's the bottom line. When your teen comes into the room and wants to talk to you, stop what you're doing. Turn to face your child. Give them your complete attention. And then listen to what they have to say, not to fix it or tell them about how you would handle the problem or issue. Just listen. Put yourself in their place and let them talk. Put down your phone, stop doing the dishes, turn around and face your child. And guess what? If your kid is 4 years old, do the same thing. Put down your phone, stop doing the dishes, turn and look at your precious little kid and say, "What do you want to talk about?" Remind yourself to be in a state of learning and curiosity and openness, and it'll be impossible for you to be judgmental. After they've said what they want to say, you should respond in a compassionate way. When a young person feels heard, it increases the chances for more communication and for better connection, and even to be able to talk about the tough stuff. Always follow their lead. You will know when they're asking for your opinion, and when they do, give it to them. But as a level two or three listener, remember that most of us are wired to be level one. We want to relate their story to our story, but that's not what your teen wants. They want to be heard and understood, which is easier said than done. But with a little practice and concentration, you will be the one they come to when they're feeling down or confused, and that's such a good thing. I honestly believe that learning to listen correctly is one of the hardest things parents need to do, but also one of the most rewarding. Teenagers can tell if you're really paying attention to them. They can see your body language and feel it if you're rushing them. But oh, if they get the impression that they have your undivided attention and you will listen without interrupting and without offering advice, well, that's when the magic happens. It's just hard to do that because if you're a parent, you're busy. That's a given. But I promise it'll be worth it if you give this a try. So here are just a couple little things that you can do while you're trying to be a better listener. And I'm thinking like when you're on your way home from work, and you're stressed and you're frazzled and all you want to do is sit down and do nothing. But there you walk in the door and your teenager is staring at you and obviously upset or really happy and excited. Whatever it is, They want your attention, and you need to instantly be able to get into that level three zone. So maybe write down on a 3x5 card something like listen to understand, and look at it and get in the zone before you get home to your teens. And once you're there, again, just give them your full undivided attention while they're talking. Face them directly, phone off, TV down, put aside your bills, stop doing the dishes. Look at them directly and keep quiet. Don't interrupt them. They may need to process their thoughts out loud, so let them and listen. And finally, reserve time each week for listening. Whether you meet at their favorite restaurant, get ice cream, or even just meet at the kitchen table on Sunday evening, make yourself available to your teen. When my three daughters were younger, we would have girl talk every night as I was putting them to bed. They could talk about anything and everything, and I was just there to listen. Now that they're older, when they need to talk about something, they just say girl talk, and I know it's time to get quiet and listen. Having a predetermined time set aside for listening to your teen will help open up further communication. They will trust you and know that you'll be there for them when they need you. The earlier you get a handle on all this, the better your relationships will be, and the more your teen will feel understood. And being understood is what we're going to be talking about in our next episode. So practice listening, and I'll see you then.
You've been listening to the Changemaker Teens Podcast with Linda Johnstone. We hope you enjoyed today's show, but more importantly, that you feel inspired and supported to mobilize and ignite a spark in the youth of your community. Please like and subscribe to help others find the podcast too. We want to hear from you. Tell us your story and be part of the community on Facebook and Instagram at Changemaker Teens. To learn more about the Changemaker Teens Project or to help youth truly change the world, visit changemakerteens.com. See you next time.